So it appears I have developed a new affliction. It's wonderful at the age of 50-something to know that just life is always full of adventure. But this new one is kind of stymieing me a little bit. I think I noticed it last January, the last time I preached when we had a congregation here. When I went back to the chair, Alistair said to me, "Would you please breathe?" I thought, okay, so I'm obviously nervous about preaching. That's what this is. And for a while, I was like, not breathing. And soon, about 2 months ago, I actually did a home communion. And I was sitting with the person, and I thought, I'm doing it again, I'm not breathing. I can feel it. I feel like, why am I doing that? Tonight, the same thing when I came in. So if anybody out there knows why this suddenly happened to me at the age of 56, let me know. Baptism. I used to go to a parish where the priest walked up and down the aisle and talked to people in the congregation. Since there's nobody else here but the choristers, look out, I might have something to ask you. Baptism is the sacrament that unites all Christians. It's the one thing we have in common as Christians. It was intended to be the sign, the mark of our Christianity. Somewhere along the way, and I don't know exactly when, we started to misinterpret the use of baptism. It became less about belonging to a Christian group and more about the exclusivity of our Christian life. How many of us here remember our baptism? Anybody? There you go. See? I don't. I have pictures of it. I was a month old. I was a cutest baby, apparently. My mother told me when she was in the hospital for a week back in 1965. The nurses told her every day, "He's so cute, he should have been a girl." I don't think that had anything to do with it, by the way. I think we just took baptism and ran with it in the wrong direction. When I worked in the Catholic Church in Ontario, the separate school board requires that you have a baptism certificate when you enroll. And it's fun watching people look for them. Because there was a time when you could present your baptism certificate as ID. It was that recognized. If I used to start doing the math, I'd sit there and think, okay, there's six schools in Orillia, there's one church. Six schools have 600 or so kids each. Divide that, add parents to that. How many time masses do we have on Sunday? I'm pretty sure most of these people don't participate in faith, but they got baptized. The first sacrament of the church. And so when I was doing communion and reconciliation and confirmation, I would ask them, "Do you know why you're here?" Anybody know why they're there? No. Generally, well, it's about time to have my child do the first communion, or I need to get enrolled in school, or it's confirmation time. But do you know why you're here? And that's where we left. We left in the education of what the sacraments were about. When I was young, we memorized prayers. How you did with Sister Mary Nasty told you to do, and you tried not to get noticed. But even parents weren't unsure. They just knew that they had to take their children to church. They weren't sure why. And so I've asked them all, and then they look at me, "Well, you know, it's, yeah, I used to go to church all the time." Okay, but don't participate in something if you don't actually want to be part of it. That doesn't help. That doesn't teach your children what the sacraments are all about. Now, I was an odd kid, of course. I graduated my mother to take me to church every Sunday, and she was like, "Oh, what's with this kid?" But a child does understand. Give them credit for understanding what they're about. And adults, when I was teaching adults when they were becoming Christians, baptism was the best part of that, because they understood that it was not about the exclusivity of belonging to the Christian faith. It was about joining the Christian community, about proclaiming the news of Christ. And once they learned that, they got it. I tried to teach that to my choir, and they were like, "What? No, no, no. We have to get baptized, or we won't go to heaven." Okay, no, that's not right. Again, the church, they told people, if you, it's imminent death, must baptize them right away. Get that water out. Everybody can do it. So anyone who has the power to baptism, baptize. Except I found in my desk what was called an acceptable baptism for enrollment in the Catholic school system. denominations that you were to accept, and ones that the baptism was not legitimate. One of them was the Metropolitan Community Church, which set me into a blind rage. Again, the mixed message. Exclusivity. Baptism equals exclusivity. It does not. It equals joining. The purpose of Christ's baptism was to unite us as Christians. Certainly along the way, we messed that up a little bit, but it's not too late to restore that. Had we been able to gather this morning, we would have had the renewal of our baptism of promises. Those I remember because I do it every year. But when I was a little baby, someone did that for me. And that's a powerful, powerful statement, because it reaffirms all those things that baptism of the Pope. The creed, of course, do you reject sin? But then also, do you promise to live your life by the Gospels and spread the message of Christ to the world? It does not mean convert the world. It means show the world what the message of Christ is about. Baptism is the uniting sacrament. It's the one thing that gives us the power to say, this is why we're here. This is what Jesus is about. This is why he came to earth. This is what the Gospels say. And so, don't turn it into a Kodak moment, or B, a joining of an exclusive club. Because along with that came worthiness to be. And I used to tease the adults, I used to say before in the church, and even in today, you're received as an adult into the church at the Easter Vigil. So you baptize at the Easter Vigil, and I'd say, okay, it's Holy Thursday, get out there and sin, because we're going to wash you clean on Saturday night. You don't have to go to confession or anything, just go do all your sinning, get it over with now, and then you come, and we'll make you holy. Oh. The problem is people believe that. They believed it. Just like they believed if a baby died before baptism, it wasn't going to heaven. How do we turn that around? How do we make people understand that's not true? We show baptism as the joyful belonging, as the thing that makes us Christian, as the sacrament that unites us. Whatever else happens after that along the way, that's our doing. But baptism, we say to God, I believe in you, I believe in Christ, I believe that I am here to show that love to all the world. And by my baptism, I promise to do that. I don't promise not to sin again, but we all do it. I don't promise not to have a bad day, or sometimes be unkind to the person standing next to me. We all do that. It's not necessary to fix all that by a little splash of water. What it's meant to do is to say, I believe in you, I'm here to serve you, I'm here to listen, I'm here to pray, and I'm here to teach. And hopefully, when we do get to heaven, we'll meet all of the people that along the way we helped understand that faith. And we'll be united again. We'll be united.